All right, so to finish up this edition of Bang the Book Radio here, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the college football games that we didn't get to, also give you some quick thoughts for the Thursday night action. Houston and Tulane, game that we mentioned on Monday's show with Kyle Hunter, game 303-304 here. Tulane, 5-point favorite in the marketplace. This was a number that was around 3, 3.5 early in the week. Somebody very influential bet this number up to 5.5. It may have even touched 6 in a few places out there. Some of the more public shops, some of the shops unwilling to take on some exposure and some risk. Still sitting out there at 5. And again, like we talked about on Monday, like I talked about in my video preview for this game over on our Bang the Book YouTube page, it's a really bad spot for Houston because you go from preparing for the air raid to preparing for this modified spread option on a short week. And also Houston with some defensive losses from last year and a new coaching staff that's not as well-versed in facing this Willie Fritz team. So I think it's a really, really tough spot for the Cougars in a lot of ways. The problem here is that this number is quite high up at 5. Now, you still have a dynamic player in De'Aaron King who has not been as efficient this season as he was last season. He's been okay running the football. His completion percentage down considerably from last year. Seems like he's having a hard time grasping this Dana Holgorsen offense. So again, anytime you talk about a team that plays a ball control style of offense, like Tulane does, run the football, easy throws with Justin McMillan, you've got to maximize your possessions if you're Houston. I think it's a tough thing for them to do in this game. Even though my pure power rating number on this game is 1, like I mentioned early in the week, probably a 2.5 or so point adjustment to the spot for Houston. Yeah, and even at that point, I'm still only at 3.5. But the only way I could really look tonight is Tulane. Not a play for me, not a strong opinion by any means. But again, a very telling line move here in this one. Over on the NFL side tonight, Titans and Jaguars. Tennessee, 1.5-point favorite at open. Not a whole lot of movement here on this game, 1.5 or 2. We have seen the total kind of bounce around a little bit, dropping down from 40 to 38. Would expect a low-scoring game here. Again, you've got Gardner Minshew in his second career start, first career start on a short week. It's a very tough spot for a rookie quarterback to be in, especially a rookie quarterback that doesn't really have a ton of help at the skill positions here for Jacksonville. They had some injuries throughout training camp. Leonard Fournette just really hasn't been the explosive player that the Jaguars hoped he would be. Not a whole lot of help at the skill positions for Minshew. Tennessee, on the other hand, maybe a little bit better equipped for the short week, but also still injury and suspension concerns on the offensive line. We know Jacksonville's defense is very good. Jacksonville's defense, quite possibly the best unit on the field here between these two teams. Tennessee, you know, they run the ball well with Derrick Henry. They do some swing pass and screen type stuff, but it's really hard for Marcus Mariota to soften up a defense. Doesn't have a lot of deep threats, not particularly good at throwing the deep ball, kind of improvises as something of a dual threat type of guy. And that's the worry that you have here tonight with Tennessee, who should win the game, I would think, especially with the short week and the rookie quarterback angle. But I don't know how much success they have moving the football. Jacksonville will pack the line, will flood the box. The safeties will probably play a yard or two closer to the line of scrimmage than they otherwise would against a better offensive team, because you don't really have to worry about Mariota beating you over the top. I think this is an ugly game. I agree with the move on the under. Under 38 would be the way I would look here in this one. Maybe you could take a look at teasing Jacksonville up to 7.5, teasing the total up a little bit into that 44 range, kind of get some of that lost line value back to, play a side and teaser under if you've got a book that allows you to do that. But ultimately, overall, again, the only thing I would look at here, the under 38, because I think this is a very ugly, miserable, bad division game here on Thursday night. So just some thoughts there for you on tonight's two games, and bounce back over to the college side and take a look at some of these games that we really haven't talked about too much here yet this week. I think Louisiana Monroe and Iowa State right at the top of the board for Saturday is a really interesting game, because Iowa State, devastating loss last week in the rivalry game. The fans stuck it out through a couple of weather delays. Now you've got an 11 a.m. kickoff in Ames against a Sun Belt team, a decent improving Sun Belt team there with Matt Viator doing a good job with the Warhawks. I think this is a tough one for Iowa State. I think it's a tough one to get going. It's one of those situations where you're going to have to create your own energy. And those can be tough for these college teams in these early kickoffs. You know, it'll be a similar thing with UConn and Indiana. Indiana coming off of getting blown out by Ohio State. Do they have a buzz in the building at 11 a.m. in Bloomington for this game? I don't know. And these are two big numbers here that you're looking at where Iowa State, you know, a decent offensive team, but are they an offensive team built to create a lot of margin, put this game away in the second half? I don't know. Indiana, same thing. We know UConn is awful. UConn is one of the worst teams we've ever seen in college football over the last 2 years. That's a big number. And I know it's gone up from 26.5 to 28, but these are the considerations from a handicapping standpoint, not just the X's and O's, but also is Iowa State mobilized and invested to go out there and blow out Louisiana Monroe in an early kickoff, coming off such a heartbreak, you know, in that rivalry game against Iowa. And furthermore, Iowa State plays Baylor next week. So they get into conference play on the road there in Waco. And look, there are a few different schools of thought here. And I mentioned this when I talked about situational spots sometime last week on the show. There's a lot of narratives surrounding situational spots. You can mold them to fit the side that you like. You can mold them to, you know, to validate the argument that you're trying to make. For Iowa State, it's a bad spot. Off the rivalry game, devastating loss, early kickoff. On the other hand, you can say Matt Campbell, who's a very good head coach, can mobilize his team to take out some frustration on an inferior opponent, get things fixed up and squared away before you play Baylor next week. So you can't really take your foot off the gas because you're trying to work through some of the problems that you've had here so far this season. And look, you've had a lot of problems. You don't have David Montgomery. You don't have Akeem Butler. You've got to get this offense figured out because in Big 12 play, you got to score some points. Iowa State's been very good defensively, but you got to score some points. So some people can say early kickoff, letdown spot off of last week's emotional loss, and a conference game on deck. Other people can say conference game on deck, you better get your shit together, and let's forget about that bad loss last week by going out here and blowing out an opponent. So a lot of considerations here for that Louisiana Monroe-Iowa State game. UConn and Indiana, a little bit of a different spot in that Indiana goes back into Big Ten play, but also they're coming off of getting blown out by an Ohio State team that's just superior to them. So, again, these are things that you want to look at. Sometimes you're going to have these big lines that appear to be throwaway games. When you start peeling back the layers, maybe you find some more angles that you do like a little bit. You know, like we talked about Miami of Ohio and Ohio State on yesterday's show, the Buckeyes on the road in Lincoln for their next game, how invested are they in blowing out an in-state MAC opponent? It's different when you play Cincinnati, a team that probably talked a lot during the game, you know, a team that was very good in the AAC, former DC Luke Fickell coming to town, you know, former player Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator. That's a game you're invested in. That's a game you get up for. Do you get up for Miami of Ohio? Probably not. I wouldn't think so. At least it's an afternoon kickoff, so Ohio Stadium may be a little bit livelier than some of these other spots. But still, you know, it's a challenge to get up to create enough margin to beat these inferior teams. Maybe Iowa State has that chip on its shoulder that they need. Ohio State doesn't. And I don't know if Indiana does either. So those are some considerations for some of those early big spread games. As we move down the board a little bit, you know, Old Dominion and Virginia is kind of an interesting game to me. I faded Old Dominion with Virginia Tech in the Golden Nugget a couple of weeks ago. Virginia Tech had every reason to be in that game. They got beat last year by Old Dominion. They were trying to work some things out on the offensive side, trying to get a little more efficient. A lot of questions about Bud Foster's defense. Vatek never had a prayer to cover that number. Does Virginia use that game as kind of a frame of reference to their players and say, hey, boys, look, let's do what our rival couldn't do? On the other hand, they just played Florida State, favored against Florida State for the first time ever in their head-to-head meetings, and now you play Old Dominion. That's a letdown. Old Dominion, not a good team. Line coming down from 30.5 to 28.5 here. But that's the thing here. You know, does Virginia want to put margin in this game? Or do they want to get ahead, put it in cruise control, and sit Bryce Perkins? But, of course, at that point in time, you run into the question of, Well, Bryce Perkins isn't going to be there forever in Charlottesville. Let's go ahead and run the offense with the backup the way that we normally would. You know, does Bronco run it up on somebody? I don't know. Again, these big spread games, probably throwaways for a lot of people because they're like, well, I don't want to lay that number. And obviously the underdog isn't very good, so I don't want to take that number either. But there are a lot of emotional and situational arguments to be made in these games. And again, there are two sides to every situational coin, but you may value one more than another. And maybe that does put you on a specific game or something like that. So again, a lot of these big favorite numbers up on the top of the board here for the college football card. Another one, Troy and Akron. Troy, a 17.5 point favorite here. Go ahead and take on an Akron team that is awful. I mean, Akron's, you know, I think they're 128th in my power ratings now, one of the worst teams in college football. But for Troy, what is their incentive to go to Akron, Ohio, a place that they're not typically going to go, and blow this team out? You know, do they have any incentive to go up there and do that? Is that something they're going to be invested in when next week they play Arkansas State in a big conference opener there in the Sun Belt? You know, maybe Troy by default just does crush Akron. Maybe Akron is just that bad. Troy with a big running back injury, though. I believe his name is B.J. Smith. He's out for the rest of the year for them. Very, very good running back. So they're shorthanded a little bit. You know, do they run the risk of losing somebody else? Or do they try to give that guy a bunch of reps and see what he's able to do for the rest of the season? Again, a lot of ors and ands and buts when you talk about these big spreads in these non-conference games that are out there. For Ball State and NC State, Ball State, a team that some sharp people like coming into the season. NC State looks very good in their first two games playing, you know, some lesser caliber teams. Then they go on the road to West Virginia and get pretty handily beaten. Do they bounce back here this week against Ball State? Certainly they could. They have the offensive personnel to put some margin in a game. But also for Ball State, you know, look, they're not going anywhere this season. They're probably not even going to a bowl game. They may not even sniff bowl eligibility. So they have no look-ahead spot. They're not worried about anything like that. They just want to go down there and try and play well against a Power 5 team. You know, the most dangerous team is one that has nothing to lose. And really, you know, Ball State has nothing to lose. So does NC State cover a number like that? As we look at some games here with some more reasonable lines, Georgia State and Texas State is interesting. You know, Georgia State, that big win over Tennessee, then they get trucked last week by Western Michigan, and they're an underdog to Georgia State. Georgia State a three-point favorite. Texas State a three-point favorite. Texas State virtually never favored over anybody. And they're favored here against a team that was good enough one week to beat Tennessee and bad enough the following week to give up like 700 yards against Western Michigan. So that's one where you probably want to look for the context clues in the marketplace. Yeah, this line sat three all week, but where is it going? Where is the juice? What looks to be the preferred side? Right now, I don't see any answers to those questions out there. And that's a game that's not going to draw any public activity. Any line move is going to be sharp on Georgia State versus Texas State. It's going to be somebody who's a respected bettor, or at least somebody with influential enough money to move that number. So far, we haven't seen it. But Texas State, a team a lot of people liked against Wyoming, they were the better team in that game, but they had some turnovers, they had some other issues, and Wyoming was able to win and cover the number there. What happens this week with the Georgia State team that just went up to Kalamazoo, a place they wouldn't normally go? Was that just an outlier performance? Are they not very good? Again, my number looking at that game here specifically between Georgia State and Texas State has that game much closer to pick 'em. I've got it basically a coin flip game. Texas State's a three-point favorite. I don't know if I want to go against Texas State, though, because with Bob Stitt, they're doing more of an air raid type of offense. A lot of ground for Georgia State to cover defensively in that game, where Tennessee wasn't able to spread them out and run that type of offense, which is one of the reasons why the Volunteers lost that game. So would probably go against my power ratings and maybe lean with Texas State in that one. But again, those low numbers in those Sun Belt lower conference types of games can be a higher variance type of environment, because in a lot of cases, those teams, very, very interchangeable and just home field advantage and some of the other factors into the equation. A game I probably should have talked about with some people this week, 379-380, SMU and TCU. That line right now, SMU, about a 9-point underdog. My number is 9 in that game. Did play SMU earlier in the week on the Bet Online openers. I believe it was 11.5 at that point in time. Expecting that number to go down. Thinking that SMU, maybe a team flying under the radar a little bit here. They've been better than people expected. I don't think much of TCU. I know Gary Patterson's a good coach, but I don't really love the personnel that they have there. When you look at this game, though, this is a rivalry game. These two schools are 40 miles apart. Yeah, I like SMU. However, obviously you have a conference discrepancy here, TCU in the Big 12, SMU in the AAC. TCU has won 7 in a row, 11 of 12, and 17 of 19. And a lot of them haven't been all that close. So I do like SMU. I like the direction the program's going in. I grabbed the number there in that game. But at the same time, this has been about as one-sided of a rivalry as you can get. And again, differing situational thoughts in a game like this. SMU, it's a rivalry game for them. TCU, when you win 17 of 19, how passionate are you about the rivalry? How much does it matter to you? In particular, when you're a team like TCU and you play in the Big 12 and you've got some bigger games on the horizon. On the other hand, you've won this game 17 of 19 times. So you've got a very high confidence level coming into this game. You know you're the better team. You've got the better athletes. You're in the stronger conference. And I like Sonny Dykes, but you've got a coaching advantage here with Gary Patterson as well. So again, I lean with SMU at 10 or higher, but at 9.5, it kind of takes it off the board. It's a little bit of a tougher game, a different type of handicap for a variety of different reasons here. You know, you got a game like UCLA and Washington State, and this will be the one I'll finish up on, game 397, 398. Washington State, 18.5, 19-point favorite. And Chip Kelly coming out early in the week and saying, well, if I had the personnel, I would just run the wishbone. I wish I could. And there are some people out there that kind of look at this UCLA situation and say that the Bruins have already quit on Chip Kelly. You know, maybe the playbook is too difficult. Maybe he's too much of a hard ass. Maybe, you know, these guys were recruited by, you know, Jim Mora Jr. and now they've got Chip Kelly and they've never really fit in, you know, the square peg round hole type thing. There's a lot of negativity surrounding the UCLA program in a lot of different facets. And that's how you get a game that goes from 17.5 to 18.5 or 19. And last week, money came in like a dam had been broken on Oklahoma against UCLA. So the market has officially isolated UCLA as a fade team. And keep in mind, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, UCLA took money on the road in Cincinnati, taking on the Bearcats. Cincinnati covered the number, didn't play extremely well in that game, but still were the right side for most of it. What a difference a few data points makes, right? Now UCLA is a pure, no-holds-barred fade team. And Washington State could very well go out there and hang 50, 60 points on this team. And UCLA may not sustain drives, and Washington State may just roll over them. And that's what this line is suggesting. So the context of this line move is suggesting. And these are important things you can take a look at, too, because, again, small sample size of games, college football inherently, something of a high-variance environment because you're betting on 18 to 22-year-old kids, look at the context of the line move. You know, Kent State, how many games have they won the last few years? 5, 6, something like that combined? They're laying 11.5 against Bowling Green this week. This is a Kent State team that you couldn't lay a favorite price with a couple of years ago or last year that you wouldn't even want to take as a small dog. Now they're getting bet up from 9.5 to 11.5. And again, I don't know if that game wins. I don't know if Kent State is the right side. But you want to get into the psychology of the betting market and of the people that massage and manipulate and move these lines. Even if you're not well-versed in the personnel, even if you don't do power ratings, if it's just not for you, you can look at the context of the betting market and get a feel for what's going on out there. And that'll shed some light on the teams that should be the right sides. And again, it doesn't always work out that way. You know, the sharpest of the sharp, 55, 56% long-term. But these should be the right sides. And again, yeah, there's some line value questions in play and things of that sort. But look into the psychology of the betting market, not just in college football, not just in the NFL, but in all of these sports. Again, like we talked about yesterday's show, the modeling crowd, the purely stats-based crowd, gets the first shots in the market, the first shots in the immature market. As the market starts to take shape, the handicapping crowd comes in. And then as we get closer to the weekend, we get plays based on injuries, or, you know, we get plays based on model tweaks or handicappers, or, you know, the NFL overwhelming public action coming in that can move a line if there's nothing sharp on the other side. Timing and philosophy, two very important things to consider when you're looking at the odds screen and looking at the betting market on a daily or a weekly basis.